recording. I'm sorry.
This conference will now be recorded.
Hey, good morning, everyone. We are now starting our Guam Board of Barbering and Cosmetology board meeting. Today is March 2nd, 2021. It is 9:08 a.m. and I am doing a roll call right now, calling to order. My name is Jenna Kimball. I'm board chair. Is Ashley?
Ashley Tyson, treasurer.
All the other board members can unmute themselves. And
Raymond Sanchez present.
Lori Tumaning also present.
Ray on. Okay, so we do have a quorum. Okay, Joe just arrived. To just state your name and
there's a lot of background.
Joe, are you able to hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so Joe is present. Okay, so we have our proof of publication. We posted it and we're all good on that side. We do have Rob, our attorney, present. Thank you so much for being here, Rob. And we have our agenda. Did everybody receive it?
Yes.
Would anybody like to motion?
I make a motion to approve today's agenda.
Anyone want to motion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. The agenda has been approved. Okay, so how about the approval of minutes? Have you guys been review that? For February, well, actually, was it? Yeah, February 1st, I'm sorry, 2020. Okay, so Rob just sent us a message that he had to get off. He has a court hearing. I don't know if that's recorded on our side, but he will get on if we have any questions. So does anybody want to motion on the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes for the board meeting from February 1st, 2020.
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition or discussion on it? Okay. Motion carries. So the approval, the minutes for February 1st, 2021 is approved. So we'll move on to HPLO reports. Xenia, do you have any reports? Or Nicole?
Yes, I have a couple of things, Madam Chair. So again, my apologies. I haven't been attending the past couple of meetings. I was so deep into the emergency response. So now I'm transitioning almost 100% back into the office so we can follow up on a couple of things. So number one, so we have the ethics training that we need to conduct again. It's supposed to be annually, and we're going to be setting something up pretty much like what we did, I think it was 2 years ago, right, in 2019. Everyone is mandated to attend the training, so we'll get back to you on when we start doing the planning. So for the board members, we have new board members, so you guys might want to start thinking about nominations. If you want to do that today, well, you already went through the agenda. You might want to do that in the next board meeting. So I know that you do have a treasurer, so thank you for that. Since we've been meeting on Fridays because we need to really buckle down on our budgets for each of the board members. And so we're doing some training in regards to the finances and how they come in through the HBLO. For vice chair, though, you do not have a vice chair. And I'm not sure whether you have a secretary. Do you have a secretary?
Right at this moment, no. We only have Ashley as a treasurer. So we do need to discuss that. And that actually, you can actually do that on, we don't have it on other business. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So if you want to, you can go back and amend the agenda. Otherwise, you can wait for the next board meeting and then do the nominations today or next time. So just again, I just want to push the boards. We're going to start pushing hard on the rules and regs. So you can just review that again and use Rob. Rob is our attorney guy, so you might want to use him to help you when you start confirming your rules and regulations. And then just to recap on the bill, I think it's 4636. I forgot the phone number, but we went and defended the bill last week. This is regarding the procurement rules and regulations. So we want to be able to secure expert consults just in case if there are any litigations. But right now, I think cosmetology and barbering does not have anything. So that's good. That's a good sign. But just in case, if we are not able to get the experts on island, we'll be able to island rather than going through the whole government process. So we don't know where that's at yet. It was pretty favorable. So hopefully the governor will sign it into law. Okay, and with that, that's all I have for today.
Okay. Could you repeat the portion about us taking that class one more time just so we can get the dates down? Do you have the dates, or were you saying that you were working on it just for our board, or is that all the boards like what you've done in the past?
Yes, it's for all the boards. So we don't have the dates yet. We will let you know when we have the dates, and that way we can get you signed on. It'll probably be virtual.
Okay. Okay. And the last time that we had it, that was 2 years ago. So correct. we're all needing to do that because it's every 2 years, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then okay. Hey, does anybody have any inquiries or any questions for Xenia? Any of the board members have any questions in regards to what you just shared?
Yes.
Nope.
Not here, sir.
Okay, so I do have a question for the board members in regard to her what she talked about with the nominations and the seats in the board. So my question is, would you guys like to amend the agenda today to be able to discuss that today and make nominations, or would you guys like to do that on the next board meeting?
I would like to do it on the next board meeting.
Anyone else? Is that everybody good with that?
I'm good with that. I'm still taking time to familiarize myself with this, so.
Okay, so yeah, next board meeting is good.
Well, we'll put it on, we'll request for Nicole to add that on the agenda next month. To do it, the nominations and the voting for the seats. Okay, Nicole. Okay, I see her thumbs up. All right, so we can move on to old business. Do we have any old business? We do not have anything on old business, so we can move on to new business and the application for establishments. Applications for re-examination and I know that there were three of us that went into the office and did and looked over the folders. And so is Nicole going to be the one to announce what was signed off on the folders? Because it's not in front of me, so that's why I'm asking if it's possible if she can do that.
So all applications under new business were approved.
Okay, so the number one, rare hue, brain, right, is approved. And the application for re-examination, all of them were approved. Right? No one was disapproved?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all confirmed from number one all the way to number five, all the applications for re-examination. So we had enough signatures to do that.
Okay. Under B, number one is mentioned conditionally approved pending a police clearance. That's all.
Thank you, Ashley. Okay, so that is noted on the folder.
Madam Chair, just for the record, can you go through B, application for re-examination, and who's conditional and who's approved? So if you can just go through one by one. Thank you.
Sure. Number one, Chien Q Tron Manicurist. It's a pending, it's a conditionally approved pending a police clearance. Number two, Lin Swan Tran Manicurist is approved. Tian Lan Nguyen Manicurist is approved. Tian Juan Nguyen Manicurist is approved. Achen Juan Villagomez Manicurist is approved.
Thank you.
And these are just re-examinations for written test, correct, Nicole? Because they all passed their passing, right? Okay. All right. So going to other business, NIC exam and apprentice license.
Is there any update to the NIC exam?
Okay, so I did ask Marcy to to come in. I'm not sure if she's here.
No, I don't see her.
You don't see her? The reason why I asked her to get on is because I know that she just came from a conference with the NIC just to get an update and what they have confirmed in regards to the examinations, because they were looking into doing virtual. It is very, they had to make sure that, Marcy said she's on, but I don't know why she's not able to talk. She said we can't hear her. She's empty. Is there any way we can, whoever the admin is, or?
No, she has to unmute herself. Marcy? Marcy, can you hear us? If you can unmute your mic.
I'm gonna send her a message on the chat. Yeah, she says she's on. So, and I think she's talking, but we can't hear her.
Yeah, she has to do it herself. Just text her.
Marcy, are you able to unmute yourself?
While we wait for her, do you want to move down to C on other business? We have three people attending our meeting.
Janet, can you guys hear me?
Okay. Oh, there she is. Yes, we can.
Okay, sorry. I'm actually on the road, so, as far as the virtual testing, we've been working on that with Prometrics. So we have been doing testing right now to see how we can do a virtual test on people on the practical, you know, and that's using a laptop and a phone, because we need cameras around the room to make sure no one's in there. So we are trying to make sure that, you know, we protect the integrity of the exam. So we're testing it right now with some people. And so hopefully we can, you know, because of what's going on right now, we are behind. I mean, really behind in our exams. And I was actually talking to the dean of ULG to see if maybe we can use one of their classrooms to do our exams. So if they do the practical, for me, for us here, I think it'd be more secure, because, you know, we don't know who's in your home and who is there, because you get the cameras won't be able to pick everything up. So we don't know, you know. For me, at least for our security here, I'm thinking if we can use one of their rooms where we have cameras around the room to really watch them. So anyway, but Prometrics has been working on virtual exams, and I think that's also including like the written exam. I think they're going to be able to do it on the computers, and they should be able to pick up if they're cheating also, because they're going to have cameras around the room to watch if they have notes and stuff around them. So until we get everything, you know, to the best. So, I mean, if we feel like it's, we can go through this, we will be able to start doing our exams here in Guam like that. For now, hopefully. Okay. Yeah, and so then
question, Marcy. So when you say that they're testing it right now, what is their projection in terms of like it being you know, available to the other states and Guam?
Well, because they want to make sure it's the security again is proven that no one can cheat doing virtual, then because they're using some of us to do it, and you know, we are told to cheat to see if they can catch us. So until I guess when we come to the point where we said, okay, we got this, we're, you know, we can do it without with securing our exams, then I think we're going to go ahead and start doing it. We're looking actually probably in the next 5 months.
Cool.
So hopefully okay. Sooner than that, but that's what we're projecting right now.
Okay. Thank you for that update. Do you guys have any questions for Marcy?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So we were having the same issues with the certified nurses assistants. In regards to testing, because we do a practicum as well as a written. So we were able to connect with GCC. So I'm gonna work with Nicole so we can get them to see whether we can utilize their facility, because it's retrofitted for testing. They can hold, I forgot how many they can hold, but they have all the necessities to go ahead with the training. So I think rather than waiting for that virtual, we need to get the testings going if we can.
So Xenia.
Yeah.
Xenia. Okay, so yeah, I was thinking of that too, especially for the written, you know, if we can, if NIC will allow us to do the written in the classrooms, because, and that's the reason why I was getting in touch with one of the deans from UOG actually, only because we do have a beauty school at GCC. And we don't want, you know, to have any kind of conflict going on, because we had a talk about that a few years ago about using their classrooms, but because they do have a cosmetology school there, we decided that if we use ULG's classrooms, then, you know, we don't have any issues about people saying that, you know, how they can, because there are cameras, right, at GCC in the classrooms?
Yeah, yes. How many students are you? How many students are you looking at?
Gosh, Nicole, you have that, right?
Over 20.
Nicole has all the numbers of all the applicants, ones that need. And I think they're different. The written isn't as hard as the practical. I think when it comes down to the practical, when you're looking at doing it virtually, I can understand what Marcy's saying about. You know, they're going to do virtual, and it's not going to be a secured area. The one who is holding the camera, or wherever the camera may be, whoever is behind that camera can basically pre-record what is going on with the person who's doing the exam. So I think that those are some of the things that I know have been discussed with the exams, right, Marcy?
Of course, we always have to think of the integrity of our exams. We need to protect it. And honestly, once someone gets a hold of our exams and it goes out there, we can be fined thousands of dollars that we can't even afford, you know?
Yeah.
So the again, office, it's all about
security. Yeah, and then the HBLO, just FYI, it will be available this week. We have the call center moving out to ULG. So if you want to, you can utilize that, but you'll probably have to split them like 10-10.
Yes. That's right. I talked to, so because we still have to separate them, you know, at a distance, and we still need to follow protocol. But I was thinking of if we can possibly do at least a written, because we have a lot of people out there who are just waiting for the written to get their license, you know? So right. If we can just pull that out, I mean, we don't want to be falling too far behind.
Right. All right.
Yeah. So with the written exam, that's more promising, right? To do it earlier than the practical, which will probably be another 5 or 6 months, right, Marcy?
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So again, I can get back with SMT and Metrics and see how we can still utilize our old ways right now as far as testing our, you know, our candidates, because we really need to actually get them going. You know, there's a lot of them that pay so much money for their schooling and they're just sitting there not, you know, taking any exams. So
okay. Does anybody else have any questions with Marcy in regard to the NIC exams?
None here.
Great. I am wondering, Nicole, I know you did the agenda and it says / apprentice license. What was that?
So if we don't have a date for the NIC exam, does that mean that all apprentices after the 6 months is up from this past renewal that I did, will it be extended another 6 months until we have a date for the exam?
My response to that would be to wait until that time does come. I don't know about the rest of the board members. And this is the only reason why I'm saying it is because I'm really hoping that the practical exam can be administered sooner than what Marcy is saying. I mean, that's my hope. So if we did have a discussion a while back about the apprentice licenses or their permits, that as soon as we get into PCOR 3, we were going to go ahead and extend them 6 months, all across the board.
Yes.
Do all of you board members remember that conversation? That
yes.
Okay. And so
I think
I'm just saying that we are already giving them 6 months from the time PCOR 3 started and those that came in. And I mean, we were debating whether we were going to extend them 2 months because if they already had only 2 months left, you know, that kind of thing. So we were just kind of throwing ideas out there in terms of we should do it then. And I think across the board, we just decided to just extend them 6 months.
If they had failed a part of the exam that they had applied for the re-examination, they would be extended 6 months. Those that have not, all because of the pandemic, would automatically get the 6 months. Those who have taken exams but failed any part, whether practical or written, depending on if they need a refresher or not, they would be approved for the 6 month extension as long as they apply for the re-examination.
Did all the board members get that. I know that, I think Joe and probably, I'm so going to mess up your name. You, tell me your name again. I'm so sorry. Our other board member.
Ray.
Okay. I know that you guys just came in, so you probably were not in that board meeting. But did you guys understand that with what Ashley was saying?
Yeah, I was here for that meeting.
Yeah, I think we just talked about that at the last meeting, and it is also in our minutes, the conversation about the 6 months. So as long as they're not required to do a refresher course, the reexamination application is complete, they are getting the 6 month extension as well. But for those that have not taken the exam because of the pandemic, so say those who were approved for apprenticeship in the beginning of 2020 and there was no exam throughout 2020, they would automatically get the 6 month extension. And it is, I believe it is in our minutes that we just approved from the last meeting.
And we were all in that meeting, right?
Yes. So that is in our minutes from February 1st. Under other business, under D.
Can I just make a suggestion, or can I just give a comment? Will I be able to say something about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, only because, you know, that they are just starting to go back face-to-face for some in the classrooms. You know, I'm just concerned about the refresher courses because I don't feel the school will be able to do those right now. We actually, you know, tell them you got to take a refresher course first before you take, you know, your exams or whatever, because right now they're just now going back into the classrooms, you know, and we're still at what, 50%? Is that what it is? So for me, for them to be required to take a refresher course right now before they take an exam, that would be a little bit difficult right now. So I don't know how you guys would like to work on that one.
How long is a refresher course?
It's 10% of the required hours. So for beauties, for cosmetology, will be something like 160 hours.
So right now, schools are probably able to give out those courses, right?
Do they have to pay for those refresher courses?
Yes, they do, and they're very expensive. And that's why we don't normally require, if it's just written, for them to take a refresher, because honestly, not in the class. They just have them sit in the classroom, and they're pretty much in their own, studying on their own. So I don't see them paying, you know, $1,000 or a little bit over $1,000 just to take a refresher when they're not even being taught. They're pretty much on their own. So.
That's correct. Yeah, I agree.
So our refresher courses are only required for those that have not passed the practical for more than 2 exams, right?
Sorry, I thought it was if they haven't passed the written exam.
The written exam. We didn't require for the written because this is pretty much on their own, like on their own, because we taught to study. I mean, it's a practical. If you're failing the practical, it's because you're, apparently you're still not, you know, you still don't know what you're doing. So.
Okay, I'm confused because the last time we had, so all of the applications under reexamination, they were removed from either last meeting or the meeting before in January because we had to verify if they needed a refresher course. And then they're put back on the agenda today because they are not required to, because it's just that they passed the practical, but it's the written that they're required to take. So now I'm confused. Is it the written that they have to do a refresher or the practical that they have to do a refresher for?
Practical, isn't it?
Only because through the past, in the past, we've been doing it only for the practical because, you know, like I said, the written, it's pretty much like, it's something that can't really be taught because, you know, I hear it a lot. And actually people have come to me and asked me to borrow a book because they're not even given the books that they need to study. So they've actually come to borrow my books. They sit them down. In a room, and they're on their own. They pay a lot of money for a refresher for RIP, but it's not taught. Nothing is taught to them. So that's why we started doing this a refresher for practical.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, so it's only for the practical if they do not pass after their second practical exam.
Okay, so in regards to Marcy's concerns about, or her comment about it being difficult for refresher courses to be taken at this time, I would be open to allowing all apprentices that, even those requiring a refresher 6 months, assuming that or upon the application for reexamination is turned in. So as long as they still have the application for reexamination turned in, then they could be, I think they should be able to be extended as well.
Do you want to make that decision now, or do you want to, after they've reached their 6 months, for us to review the folders? Because I think that, because case-to-case basis, you know, there may be some things that are overlooked. I'm just saying because that everybody's different. Every case is different. And so I wouldn't want to just say all across the board, you know, we did that as a, you know, as grace because of the pandemic. But I think once we have the exams, the written and the practical, like I said, hopefully we get them before 6 months. I mean, that's the hope. The written, hopefully we can get them right away. But with the practical, if we get them within 6 months and we're able to do that, then we can review them again. Or do you guys just want to do that across the board? Say, okay, we'll just extend their licenses. I don't know. What do you guys?
So are you saying for those that who are in need of a refresher course, we should just extend them from the start of the pandemic, which was March 2020, and whatever was left in the on their apprentice permit, give them those months?
No, my suggestion was to stay with what we all decided from the last board meeting, which is all across the board, from the time that we've been key core 3, so 6 months, so everyone is extended 6 months. Now,
yes.
Once that 6 months is up, they would have had to take their exams, one of the exams. Now, hoping, again, that the exams will come in by then, or we'll have those exams. But if not, then the ones that do need a refresher, that's totally something that we can review when the time comes after 6 months.
We should just do the 6 months now, and then when the 6 months when it's approaching the 6 months, see from there.
Yeah.
I think we
I wouldn't do it like because like you said, it would have to be a case by case basis by then, because hopefully too, by then, if they are required to do a refresher course, they're able to do it within that time.
Yeah. Because I mean, we do still have to think about the public, right? I mean, if they did not pass the practical, I mean, that means that they did not master client protection and infection control. And so if they have not mastered that, then we should not allow them to continue. I mean, we're giving them the benefit for 6 months, right? To go and, you know, to use up their apprentice permit time. But then after that is done, then we need to review and see, you know, how many times did this person really take the exam, the practical? Because there are some that have taken it more than twice and have failed and have taken a pre-refresher course and still fail. So that has to say something. We need to review that. So we can't just say, okay, let's just extend them. Okay, that would, I think that we need to review that. So how do you guys feel about that?
I agree. We just wait till the 6 months and then we review
again, right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, great. So I don't think we have to vote on that, right, Xenia? No. Okay. So we can move forward to rules and regulations. I know that Xenia did find that, you know, this has been going on for years now. And you guys approved the rules and regulations that was written out already for your review. And Rob, our attorney also has. Ashley, would you mind if you could mute yourself? I think the feedback is coming from your speaker. Okay, thank you. So with the rules and regulations, Rob did send an email regarding that he was not able to review it until after the first week of March. So I did send you guys an email to find out who would like to be a part of that committee, and so I can send another email to find out what your available times are, so we can review it line by line, because that's going to be what we need to do. Because once we take this out and we take it to the legislature and all that stuff, we need to know why we're putting this in our rules and regs. So we need to be able to defend it. Okay, so please review it and then watch for the email so that we can have everyone participating and going through it. Is that good? No? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we have our last one in our agenda, I think, right? Is that the last one? It's R. Lewis Weddy. I might be saying that wrong. I'm sorry. They're requesting guidance about in-room cosmetology service for clients. And I don't know if you guys got it, but there was an email also sent out from the hotel. But anyway, the request, I think, was to allow in-service in the rooms. I think they're here right now. So did you guys wanna talk and speak?
Good morning. My name is Yoshiki Sato. I'm the general manager of Ali's Wedding. And then here, the Linda and then also Tomoko, their administration, and then she will be translating. Yeah, she will be translating for me. And also our attorney, Rebecca, is joining the meeting. Thank you so much. And we thank you very much for your time and for your opportunity to submit the request for the guidance for the, you know, in-room cosmetology service. And on the letter, it says, we'll be adding the new wedding venue at the Tsubaki Tower, you know, soon. And or we would like to provide the, you know, cosmetology service in the hotel room to our client. And from our review, the Burbank and then the Cosmetology Act of 2010, that neither prohibit nor specifically provides a license for the in-room cosmetology service. And we would like to, kindly requesting the guidance from you, which is what kind of license is necessary. And also, I'd like to get your advice, the process, for the license, please.
Okay.
And Anthony Rebecca, yes.
I'm sorry.
Hello. Hi, I'm sorry. He was just introducing me. Hello. Thank you, board members, for letting us talk with you today. And we really appreciate your help on this. Like Yoshiki said, I went through the laws that govern the licensing practice. What is it? The Barber and Cosmetology Act of 2010. And I didn't see anything there that specifically prohibits the in-room services that our Lewis would like to provide, but I didn't see anything specifically provided for it either. So what they'd like to do is in other very popular destination wedding locations that compete with Guam, the cosmetologists go to the room of the wedding clients and prepare the hair and makeup for the wedding photos and the ceremony. And so our Lewis would like to provide those services through the Tsubaki, the brand new hotel that, of course, everybody knows where it is, sitting up by Gun Beach. And they would like to provide these services in the room, and they want to make sure that they're in compliance with all the laws. So we're kind of requesting guidance from you guys on what we can do and what license they will need, if there is one, or how they can go ahead and provide these services. And as you know, tourism is getting ready to open up here on Guam. And so our Lewis needs to prepare. They're getting ready to prepare some marketing materials so they can start hitting their target market of Japan to help convince people to come here and do their destination weddings. And so we're kind of looking for what we can tell the people that they're going to be marketing to. So they're going to have some information to put in their marketing. But from you all, we would like some guidance on how they can perform these services for in-room for their clients. And if you have any questions about it, you know, we're here to ask any questions, to answer any questions you may have. And thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rob, for gracing us with your presence. This is our lawyer that's helping us. So the question, we're talking with our Lewis Wedding and also their lawyer.
I'm sorry, who and who is the lawyer?
Hi, Rob. My name is Rebecca Wrightson, and I work with Cabot Mantinonia.
Okay. Hi, Rebecca. All right.
Yes. So they had a question about their establishment and they're requesting for. I'm sorry. Are you requesting for your licensed cosmetologist to work in the rooms?
That's correct.
These are Guam licensed cosmetologists.
Yes, they are.
Yes. So licensed by the Guam board. Okay. To work in the rooms. And currently our statutes in section 18.111, it's we do have practice outside of establishment. Mm-hmm. And then also in Section 18112, and the person's exempt. So that's basically, I mean, I just got the email this morning from the, I was able to review the email coming from the general manager, I think, of the hotel. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as far as what I know about persons doing the in-service in the rooms, we've not allowed that in the rooms because partly because of all the requirements of public health and the need for client protection, infection control, and also because the establishment is the one that is pretty much looked at to make sure that it's for safety, you know, because you're also having heating elements in there and chemicals and things like that, and maybe, you know, the person who's doing these services may say that they're not going to use these elements in the rooms, but we can't guarantee that. So I don't know how we'd go about this, Rob, if you can.
When we talk about in the room, what room are we talking about? The hotels in the quarantine or something else?
In the hotel rooms. Well, these are not establishments. These are not licensed establishments because the hotel, the establishment that they are, that the representing here is the establishment that is, they do have a license under the board, the establishment themselves, but they're wanting their people from their establishment to go into the rooms to do the service.
Into the rooms where people are being quarantined.
No, I'm sorry, Rob. No. I'm sorry. Can I, Madam Chair, do you mind if I... Okay. Hi, Rob. This is Rebecca. What would be going on is R. Lewis is currently has establishment licenses for five other hotels that they operate out of. The Nikko, the Pacific Islands, the Sheraton, the Hilton, and the Hyatt. At the Tsubaki Tower, which is the brand new hotel that's opened up, there's not really a place to put a brick and mortar salon inside the hotel there. So what they would like to do is perform the cosmetology services in the hotel rooms for the clients. And this is also something that's like commonly done in Japan, and it's in Japanese culture, it's a common practice to have the cosmetologist visit the room and provide these services. So what we're asking is, because there's no real direct path in the law to be licensed to do this. These are all licensed cosmetologists, Guam licensed cosmetologists that are employed by R. Lewis, but they would be visiting the hotel rooms to do the hair and the makeup for the wedding party prior to the services, to the wedding service.
Okay. And are we just hearing about this for the first time today, Jenna? Okay. And yes. Rebecca, did you send an email that has like this in writing, this request?
That's correct, Rob. We have put together a letter, and R. Lewis sent a letter to the board requesting guidance that was sent last week. And with that letter is also a letter of support from the Tsubaki Tower.
Okay. All right. Has anybody run this past the Department of Public Health yet? Okay.
Not yet. I don't think so. Because I am concerned about sanitary permits, health certificates, and all the fire code, you know, all that stuff, because that would be a concern. I think that's why it was written out that way in our law.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine why. I mean, I can just see I could just visualize somebody knocking on the door saying, okay, I'm going to come in, and first I'm going to sanitize before, and then I'm going to sanitize after. Let me, you stand in the corner of the room over here while I do this. And I'm trying not to be silly, or facetious, but yeah, this is such a major departure from even existing law as it is, let alone what the quarantine restrictions are. I presume, Rebecca, that you're already and you're familiar with the restrictions that on establishments in the, you know, by that have been approved by the Cosmetology Board and Public Health. Yes. No?
Yes, I did go through the laws. That's correct, Rob.
Okay. Well, not just the laws.
Yeah, and I didn't see it. Yeah. And well, what I didn't see, I just didn't see anything that specifically provides for it or prohibits it. And so that's why we've come to you, is to see what we need to do to get this process going. So it's possible that R. Lewis would be able to do this.
I'm sorry, who is R. Is R. Lewis a person or is that a...
R. Lewis Wedding Guam is the company that has submitted the request to the board, Rob.
Okay, visual person, so I was like not seeing that. All right, well, here's what I suggest without seeing any of that, and I do know that public health in consultation with the cosmetology board or vice versa does have specific guidances or guidance, right, Janet? On cosmetology generally, you know, in light of the pandemic and the restrictions with that. What I suggest, though, is that you communicate with the Department of Public Health and as to what your thought process is, sanitation, you know, because there's a lot of overlap here between this and public health, sanitation permits and some other issues, too. That if you can sell it to public health, then to their satisfaction, then I'm sure the board would probably be, happy to go along. But well, I mean, I can't predict. Go ahead, Janet.
Rob, so R. Lewis already has an existing salon, so here on Guam and in the hotel. So that is already when she was saying a brick and mortar, they already have a place established for that type of service in the hotel. So when you're requesting for professionals to go into the rooms, you're essentially requesting for like a mobile type of license, which actually our government or Guam does not. We don't have that. We don't have that available. And some other states, they do have that, but we currently do not have a mobile license. So if it's being done in Japan, the way we run our professionals and their licenses is quite different in other countries. So with our licenses, we do have to work under an establishment because we do have the sanitary permit for the establishment. We have to go through the fire department for, all of that. So there are codes that we do follow in the establishment, and that's not able to even do that at people's home. I hope that kind of helps with understanding the licenses that you have.
I don't think that, the fact that other places do it is not a really good argument for us here, whatever Japan does or doesn't do, or Korea or anywhere else. But I really do see some serious public health related concerns here. I really kind of doubt that public health is going to go for this. The whole concept of setting people up in these in quarantine in the hotels with this is to control the environments of people who may possibly just be infected.
It won't be. Yeah, I'm sorry, Rob. It's not specifically for quarantine purposes. I'm sorry if we weren't clear on that.
Okay. So
this would be for destination weddings for the tourists that will be coming to Guam for destination weddings.
Okay. All right. Well, this is still a departure. I mean, I think that the accommodations that the board, the cosmetology board and public health have already made is for an establishment, and if you go, you know, which you can do by appointment, you control the environment, or the you know, the licensee does. You know, I this is going to have to, even if the board wanted to do this at this point, you're going to need a public health approval with a guidance memo that says, yes, here's how we do it, and under these conditions. Now, if you're, I don't know if you're already familiar with on the public health's webpage, if you burrow down a little bit, but it has a whole links of all of the executive orders and all of the public health guidance memos, the DPHS public, you know, guidance memos, and those may be helpful, but I think you need to start communicating. And actually, the board we'd had this discussion last month a little bit on a related issue, and I think that had to do with interns or right or
apprentices.
Apprentices, and I was saying, and we were saying, yeah, that, you know, what they wanted to do sounded okay, but you're going to need to get public health's approval on that as well. You know, so that is I think the course you need to take is in convincing public health that you can control the environment, whether quarantine or not quarantine. I understand, but. Okay. What I'm saying is this is not solely in the cosmetology boards.
I'm speaking on behalf of my general manager. We took this path because we want to do it the right way. But it has come to, you know, our knowledge that, you know, the wedding industry is booming on Guam, and there's a lot of local weddings or local people who get married at hotels. And it's common knowledge that they have beauticians go in their room and do their hair and makeup. And there's also where there's a venue where there's a when there's a movie on Guam, and they do hair and makeup on the set. And I'm not sure if they went through public health to get all those approval, but that's why we're trying to do it the right way. Where as to, I know that there's no specific law that says that we can do this, but according to our lawyer, there's no specific law that says that we can do it. And we've seen the history of the law in the beginning. It says you can't, it wasn't really specified that you can do it as a charitable event. So the law is evolving. So right now there might not be a law that says that we can or we can't do it, but this is a trend that would help the revenue and income of Guam too. So is there any way that if it's common knowledge that there's a lot of beauticians who does do it, you know, and we, you know, but we really want to do it the right way. If that's why we're asking for your guidance as to how we can achieve this, because this might come up in the future. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of local hairstylists who does go into the room and does hair and makeup for local couples.
Okay. The board is in the process of drafting brand new rules and regulations. So that might be something for that. You know, for the board to consider if it's within their regulatory authority. I actually have a draft here that I'm hoping to get to pretty soon. They look pretty substantial, but if this is an additional thing, you know, and then under the ordinary rulemaking process, they'll be made public. And that another alternative is to go directly to your legislator with a proposed bill that addresses this, so that this can come up in that fashion and public health can comment on it. The argument, you know, and those are the arguments about revenue and that stuff, and we're all behind that. The arguments that other people are doing it, and that you know of, or if you know of, or hear of other people that are doing what, you know, violation or violating the law, what I have to ask you to do is to report it. Report it to the board, report it to public health, and let the, you know, let the enforcement process, you know, the public health can probably move faster than the cosmetology board. But, you know, the fact that other people are violating the law is not a good argument. It's just a please tell us who's doing it so we can go, you know, enforce it argument. Okay. I don't think the board has anything pro or con on the issue at this time, other than I can see problems, but you know, those would need to be worked out. I know that the legislature is likely going to defer to the Department of Public Health, Division of Environmental Health, on a lot of these issues, you know, especially the sanitary permit requirements and. You know, so I think you need to be speaking with them. Tom Nadeau and Rosanna Robigo are in charge. They're ordinarily busy because they're tasked with COVID-19 everything over there. But I think those would probably be the people at public health that you need to communicate with. If not them, if they're not able to, somebody within their division can probably, Division of Environmental Health can probably start looking into it. They're the ones that issue sanitary permits, and they're really good. I mean, they're you know, Tom and Rosanna. So as far as, you know, going through the proper channels, you need to see something in writing, preferably. I know you sent something, but as in terms of a proposed rule or statute that we can look at, that would really lay out what the you know, what the conditions would be, you know, so that we can ensure that the public is protected, you know, safety-wise, health-wise, sanitation-wise, all that stuff. You can control that environment in an establishment that the board can come visit, or Department of Environmental Health can come, Division of Environmental Health can come visit and inspect. And hotel rooms is doing it on a mobile basis. It's different. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm not saying it can't be done. I can just imagine that it won't be subject to additional rules. Make sense?
Thank you so much, Rob.
Okay. All right. So, Rob, I'm sorry if I had said. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
I just want to find out. He told us that the first step that we can take is to go to public health. But can he repeat the names again so that we can try and reach out to those people?
Tom Nadeau, NADEAOUEAU. It's actually Masatomo, but Tom Nadeau and Rosanna.
Rosanna. Rosanna Robigo is the acting right now.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, Rosanna Robigo. Thank you, Zena.
Okay, Rob. So just so
Rosanna, Robigo and Tom Nadeau.
Rebecca?
Yes. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify what we would need to. So the first step you're asking us is to go and talk with public health. And then can we come back and talk with the board then?
Of course. I mean, you know, it would hopefully be a collaborative effort, you know, and I don't think you have to do it, you know, formally in board meetings every time, you know, but if we can get the process started, at least everybody, you know, the DEH works 24/7. Over there just about. There's no reason we have to do this kind of piecemeal month by month. You know, when the board meets, go ahead and get it started. And they can be talking to right, Jen, is that okay with you?
Sorry, Rob, I couldn't hear you because I hear others talking, so I apologize.
Okay. I was just saying that I was saying to Rebecca, if they, you know, they can start the process by, you know, speaking informally with DEH, Rosanna over there, and you know, it doesn't have to be a formal coming back to the board and presenting something formally. We can try and work kind of behind the scenes and drafting something that and then it would be voted on publicly and discussed publicly. But the drafting, ready to working hours, I think. Communications between DEH and your clients and Rebecca and the board can be done, kind of, and me, hopefully. Yes. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate all of that. And so we will take steps to start communicating with public health. And does the board have any suggestions for, you know, what's, if there's anything that they can do now for putting together something for the Tsubaki?
I wish that all of the boards had an emergency rulemaking process. And the administrative adjudication law provides for emergency. It's so limited. It's limited to complying with federal requirements in some way. Whereas the jurisdiction I came from before here, Alabama, you could do emergency rules one day and get the rulemaking process started the next and get moving forward, you know, in tandem, emergency and final rules going forward. And we don't have a process like that. So how to expedite it, I can't think of one, but, you know, maybe Rosanna would have ideas that I don't know.
Madam Chair, so with Department of Environmental Health, that's the department you're going to address it to, Attorney Rebecca. So you're going to address it to Department of Environmental Health. And when you put in your, when you put your request in, you're going to want to have a mitigation plan. Like, what is your plan to ensure that you're going to follow all the steps in the emergency planning or the emergency declaration, meaning the infection control, the wearing of the mask, the sanitizing? Because that's what they're going to want to see. Like, you do your request, your plan. What is your mitigation plan based on the PCOR 3 and so forth?
Okay. Would it be possible then that for the board members, you know, is this something that you foresee could be made into regulations if you restricted it to hotel services, things like this for the Tsubaki, that there would be availability? Because this is an industry that does bring a lot of revenue into Guam as far as money and, you know, and for probably helping to get tourists coming back to the island. So is this something that the board foresees that there would be available and in-room service, if you were restricted to specifically to hotels that have been approved, like that, if the board were to watch how the service is performed and be confident that everything is being handled to the letter?
Okay, so as far for me, if you're just asking for an opinion, opinion-wise, because of what we have been exposed to in terms of client protection, infection control, there is a lot to be said about infections. And this is not just with COVID. We're talking about all kinds of skin infections that come from hair, the scalp, the, you know, skin, and all these things. And so when you're talking about taking a client and taking them outside of a controlled area to protect them and the community, I don't know if that's safe. I really don't feel that that's safe, because you also can't control that the client may want a haircut, and then you subject that room to that type of contamination. So you're looking at contaminating that room as well. We don't know when a person takes that room and they, you know, they do whatever in that room, right? And the housekeeping cleans it up and things like that. But for me, my opinion is, if I'm gonna allow people to just do that and know that that's something being done on a regular basis, I don't know if I'd even want to. I don't know. I mean, that's just my opinion, okay? Because what I know of just all these, the things in terms of
chemicals and the sanitation and all that stuff. So that's just my opinion. But I don't know if anybody else has something to add to that.
I feel like if you can get that room approved by public health to be safe to practice any barbering services or cosmetology services, and you have a licensed cosmetologist or a barber or a manicurist, whatever you're doing in there, then I don't see any problem. If you can get that room to be approved by public health to be used.
Okay.
That's my take on it.
It's not just one specific room. It's the room that the client or the customer is staying at. So the rooms are always going to be different. So that's why it's called I guess they call it traveling. But I have one question though. On the section 18111. There are some exemptions to this rule where it's for educational purposes or upon persons at a healthcare, nursing, mental, or correctional facility, or at a charitable event. So those are exceptions. So what are their guidelines? Is there something so that we can look at that too and try and follow that? Do they have a guideline for them, or it's just them? There, it's okay for them to do it. It doesn't matter.
I think majority of these places that you're referring to, these are not paid. They're usually going in there to the nursing, the mental, the correctional facilities. These are places where the professional has no compensation. So they're not doing it for it's all public service. And so there's no compensation. And once there is compensation, then it isn't, that's what that section is for.
So what you're stating is because they're not being compensated for their services, they don't have to follow a specific guideline for sanitation or environmental mm-hmm. health. So when you say they're not being compensated, is that meaning that they're not getting paid for their, if they're not getting paid for their services? So if we do, for instance, a mock wedding, and we're complimenting a couple for their, just to do a mock wedding. And we bring our stylists and they're not gonna get paid because everything is all free. That's permitted?
Not quite sure how to answer that question.
Well, and in your statute, Chair, when you look at 18112, on letter C, it says the following persons are exempt from this chapter, and it would be persons engaged in any practice within its scope when done outside of a licensed establishment without compensation. So in the scenario that we're talking about right now, it would be a situation where nobody would be being compensated.
Rebecca, let me suggest that let me suggest that if you have this kind of question, put it in writing so that the board can look at it. Putting the board on the spot in almost cross-examination mode like this is not really a good approach.
That's not what we were trying to do, Rob. I'm sorry if it came off that way. That's totally not what we were trying to do. Please apologize.
But yeah, so that we can
get it organized the right way.
Yeah, just put it in writing. If you have an idea for an exception that you can narrow down that you think you can sell to public health, I'm sure that everybody's going to look at it with interest. Right? Nobody is going to stop. The economy. Everybody wants to encourage the economy, but with all due regard to public health and sanitation and everything else that there's already laws about. Right. So everybody in this scenario is going to look, it's going to appreciate it better seeing these ideas in writing.
We can put something like that in writing. And just so the board is aware, I did do a little bit of digging around online, and California has started doing what they started to call personal service permits, and is in the process. They passed a law that allows people to do, and I think the chair had mentioned that it's a mobile service. And so there are these personal service permits that are allowed in California. And not to say, we have to do everything that California does, but Rob would be able to tell you, too, that there are a lot of our laws that are following California's laws. So just so you know, it's not a complete outlier request that we're asking here.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I tell all the boards that I advise, don't reinvent the wheel. If another jurisdiction is doing something that you like, let's start with that jurisdiction and let's conform it to Guam law if we can, and let's make a law. So if California is ahead of the curve on this, that sounds terrific. Everybody's learning to be flexible in new ways now. So I'm sure we'd be interested in looking at the draft. I'm sure the chair of the committee that oversees all the health professions, and that's the speaker's office, actually, Teresa Lahey. She's the oversight chair for all of the health professions issues, as well as justice and a couple of other things. All right. So if you have a proposed bill, a draft bill, that would be a great way to go. Because then it goes through the public process and comment and all that, too. It's always great to have the support of the stakeholders, the shareholders, and the people who have to enforce the laws, like DEH and behind the bill if they can. The last thing you want, I can tell you this from experience, but last week was to draft a bill that you think everybody's behind. If somebody comes out of the woodwork, it starts challenging it. And that happened to me yesterday. Last week, I had a bill that I thought was, I drafted, add one paragraph to accept all of the boards from having to go through the procurement law process when retaining an expert or a consultant on a case. Department of Administration, BBMR, and some lawyer who considers himself to be an expert in procurement law all came charging out of the gate at this law, this draft bill. So it's always good to have the support of the people, as many people as you can behind it when you're giving a bill, a draft to the legislature. And that applies to rules too, if that's the way to go on that. Something like that, creating a permit for that, I think is going to need to go by legislation as opposed to something within the board's authority to draft a rule about. It's just off the top of my head. The kind of the first thing I'm looking at is, does the board have the authority within its rulemaking powers to address this subject by rule, or are we also going to need a statute to give it that authority and address it? That frequently happens, particularly because almost all of these boards' statutes, with some exceptions, are really old, like 20, 30 years old in some cases. Cosmetology board's statute was updated in, 2008, I think was the last time?
What? 2010.
2010, which is like, I think, 3 dog years or something. I'm not sure how that works. But.
That's been a while. But we appreciate you guys coming on and sharing what you guys are looking into doing. So thank you guys, and we'll see what happens.
Yes, yeah, we will take some steps on our end and then keep the board apprised with what we're learning. And Rob, if you'd like, I can send you what I found on the California as well.
I'd be happy to look at it. And I'm not going to be able to look at anything for about a week, but after that, I'll be freed up. I'm in the middle of some heavy, intense litigation right now. It's going to take me through the end of the week. But other than that, I'd be happy to get back into the fold. So, you know, including looking at drafts, legislation, and all of that, you know. So, Madam Chair, if I may be excused.
We just have one concern. I'm sorry. Thank you for your time. We just have one concern. As you are all well aware, the Tsubaki Hotel is already open, and they want to start their wedding venue from,
I believe mid June.
So I'm pretty sure going through the public health and legislature and all that, that's going to take a lot of time. So I guess my general manager's concern is during that time, if Tsubaki cannot provide us a salon where we can get an establishment license, what other guidelines or what can we do to be able to
open
or do business at Tsubaki?
Why do you not have an established license? Did you guys put in all your applications for the establishment?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Sorry.
You have all your application, the requirements for an establishment license, correct?
Yes, they do. They have establishment licenses for 5 different hotels, Chair.
Okay, so...
The Tsubaki does not have a spot, really, for a brick and mortar.
When Tsubaki created their wedding venue, they didn't have a room for we didn't turn in any application.
Okay, I'm sorry, Linda, do you want to say again?
Yeah, because they don't have room for they really want.
Rebecca, I'm sorry, but I think, but your client's breaking up. I can't hear anything on that.
I'm sorry. I believe what they're trying to relay is that the Tsubaki Hotel was built, they didn't anticipate having salons in the hotel. Is that correct? I'm watching from Yoshiki, that's correct. Linda, I'm sorry, we lost you. The internet connection was bad. Can you please say again what you were saying about the Tsubaki? Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I think that their internet connection is getting slower. But when the Tsubaki was built, I think... Okay. Okay, go ahead and try again, Linda. Because I believe what they were trying to relay is that the Tsubaki did not anticipate having salons in the hotel when the hotel was built, because they were intending to have with their wedding venue that the services would not be part of a salon inside the hotel. So there's not really a location there for them to get an establishment license for an actual salon in the hotel. But they do have licenses for 5 other hotel locations.
I think the other piece of the request is, what other options do they have if they do not have a place to conduct their business at the Sabaki Hotel? So I think at this point, I don't think there are other there may not be any other options but to go through the process.
Considering that it's all under Arlu wedding, since you already have in their other hotels, condo services at those salons in those hotels, and then take your clients back to Subaki for now. Since it is already, if it does already have an establishment license and a sanitary permit.
Yeah, I agree with Ashley. Okay. I was going to say about pretty much the same thing, that if they have five other salons in their other hotels, that would be the best option, is their clients would use the licensed establishments to take care of their clients in those establishments. So that would be my advice, because those establishments are already licensed.
Understood. Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you too.
Okay. Yes, we thank the board. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
I'm gonna sign off.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone. So we are moving on to the next thing, which is the announcements. So our next board meeting is scheduled on April 5th. I'm looking at my schedule. Let's see. I mean, that is... Okay, so I have that on my calendar. How are you all on that? April 5th? That's the day after Easter. That's the day after Easter.
It is the day after Easter, and that's not a holiday.
That's not a holiday. So it is scheduled for 9. How is everybody with that?
I'm good.
Yeah, anyone want a motion? I'm waiting for a motion.
Okay, so I make a motion to schedule our next board meeting for April 5th, 2021 at 9 a.m.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Positions or comments on that? Okay. So motion carries April 5th, 2021 at 9 a.m. for our next board meeting. Is there anything else that the board would like to discuss before we adjourn? I will be sending out the invitation for all, or an email to invite all of you guys to the rules and regs to review them. Okay, and this would be a really good time to even discuss some of the things that were discussed today.
So, but that's pretty much it for me. Anybody else have anything? Ashley, Joe, Lori, Ray?
Nothing for me.
All right then. So, would you like
to? I'm good, thank you.
As a starter, he's averaging 11 points per game. Hey, so anyone want to adjourn the meeting? No?
Oh, yeah. I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting today.
Right. Well, 10:44 a.m., meeting adjourned.
10:44.
Thank you, guys. See you next time.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
She's battling for the rebound. Forces a jump.